Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. This is where I want to begin today. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for Jesus, who was born to die for us because we have all sinned. We thank you that he who was without sin became our sin on a cross so that we could become your righteousness. Today we honor the name, the names above all, that this child wore. Speak to us today, in his name I pray. Amen. Today we're going to continue the focus upon the first word in Christmas, Christ. We're going to focus upon the Christ, the Messiah, the Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the world. In New York City, there was a lady who was called the Bag Lady who showed up at a local mission. And on that particular day, a church from one of the suburbs had come in. They brought food and they served the people the meal. Then they gathered to sing songs together and the preacher delivered a message. After the message, the woman, who they called the Bag Lady, came up to the preacher and said, "I didn't know that my name was in the Bible until today. Thank you for your message. And for that, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus." And the preacher said, "Your name is in the Bible? Really? What is your name?" She said, "My name is Edith." The preacher looked confused, but, "Well, Edith, I don't know of any place in the Bible where your name is listed." She said, "Yes, it is. You read it today in Luke 15 where you read the scripture." And he looked it up and there it said, "He receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And so, yes, he receiveth sinners and eateth. And Michael and Timothy and Bill, and Susie, and on the list goes. He receives us all. Do you ever get intrigued by names? I do. When I hear a name that I've never heard before, I wonder, where did that name come from? Did Moses have any other name than Moses? A lot of the names were given with just a name and where they were from. Joseph of Arimathea. So I guess I could be Bill of Parkersburg. I was born in Parkersburg, West Virginia, so I'm Bill of Parkersburg. And really, my name's not Bill. I just go by Bill. You say, "Well, what is your name?" Well, my name is William Dwayne Wines II. That's my name, but it's also my names. My first, middle, last. And depending on where you're from, if you're from royalty, you might have 20 plus names in your name. But I'm intrigued. Maybe if you know a shoemaker, maybe that name came originally by those who made pins. Oh, no, not really. Made shoes. We know a Dean Cobbler. Maybe they made pies or worked on shoes. My first three cars were hand-me-downs from my dad. The third one I took over the payments on. It was a hatchback Honda Civic, and the license plate said Wines One. And people loved my license plate. They'd say, "Are you in the wine business?" Say, "No, I'm not, but maybe in my history that's where we got our name. It's because we'll call ourselves Wines because that's our business." I don't know. There's something about names. I did travel with a guy my freshman year in college named Ronnie Martini. So maybe they were in the martini business some time back. I don't know. From Isaiah 7, or Matthew 1, 22 to 23, quoting Isaiah 7, 14, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And last Sunday, as I mentioned earlier, we focused upon this name, Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah 9, 6, in our text today, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called." We could say, "Well, what is your name?" He could say, "My name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, but you can call me Yeshua." That's what Jesus could have said. As we look at the names that are above all other names. Philippians 2, 9 through 11, "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So today, as we consider the names given to this child that was born to die, let's look first at Wonderful Counselor. John the Baptist said, "But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry." Well, Christmas will be here soon. It'll come and go so quickly. And on that morning, there will be millions of gifts around the world under trees. And some of them will require assembly. When our kids were little, we had a gift that required assembly multiple times, but there was one in particular. I don't remember if it was a castle or I'm thinking it was a pirate ship, and you had to take the mast and stick it down in the ship. I had the instructions laid out, and it was designed to go together. And once it was together, it was designed not to come apart. So I had the instructions out just in case I needed them. And I commenced to assemble this pirate ship. And I stuck the mast down in there and click. And then I found another piece that, wait a minute, I bet this goes on first before you stick the mast down in there. So I checked the instructions and yeah, I got ahead of myself. So now I have to pull it out. And so I yanked on it and I yanked on it. I think I got both my feet on it and I'm yanking on it and I'm pulling and I'm pulling, and it's not supposed to come out, but it did. Right into my chin. Literally blood, sweat, and tears went into that gift. They better like it. Some gifts require assembly. Maybe you have a gift that you've received over the years that quit working. Maybe a favorite clock or an heirloom clock. Who better to work on a clock than the one who makes clocks? Who better to work on an engine than the one who builds engines? I shared this. I looked it up this morning and I wrote it down. I thought this would be a good place to use that. So I wanted to see when I had used that before. March 18th, I shared this. And I thought, I want to use that again today. that Henry Ford was driving on a country road in Michigan when he came across a broken down Model T. And there the gentleman had his head underneath the hood, checking out the engine, trying to get this thing to run. Henry Ford pulled over and said, "Are you having trouble?" He said, "Yeah, I've been out here for an hour and I can't figure it out. I can't get this thing to run." He said, "Well, let me take a look." So he got under there and he tinkered for a few minutes. He said, "Now I'll give it a try." And it started right up. The man was amazed. "I cannot believe I've been out here all this time, and in just a few minutes, you got this thing running. I just can't believe it." And he said, "Well, I did design it, so I guess I should figure it out." Who better to find instruction than from the designer? The wonderful counselor. Somebody once said the Bible is basic instruction before leaving earth. Turn with me to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. We just read out of this. This is from the wonderful counselor. The keys to life. That no matter what you're going through, and I know Christmas will be hard for some people, and you might be in the midst of a storm in your life today. There might be a struggle, some personal issues. Whatever it might be, here is the key to surviving this life. The key to living and facing, no matter what we have to face in this broken world, to face it with joy and confidence and boldness. And the wonderful counselor gives us the keys right here in Philippians 2. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love. If you look at the characteristics of love in 1 Corinthians 13, and if you take the sermon outline sheet that has daily reading for this coming week, one of the readings is 1 Corinthians 13. You notice that every characteristic of love is about taking the focus off of self and placing it on others. You see, when we're babies, we cry and we get what we want. When we're hungry and we need our diaper changed. But then we spend the rest of our lives trying to get over that selfishness that we have when we're born. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you not only look to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in the human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. So if you are facing difficulty today, if you are facing a trial in your life, if you're just overwhelmed with the brokenness of this world, then find somebody to serve. Take the focus off of yourself and look to the needs of others. He is the wonderful counselor who has taught us how to love. He has shown us how to love. He has told us to take up our crosses and deny ourselves, and he showed us how to do it. He is the wonderful counselor and the mighty God. John chapter 1. I want to do something a little different. As we look at John chapter 1, I want to make this a responsive reading. Say with me, I believe. I believe. Let's practice that once again. I believe. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I believe. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. I believe. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. I believe. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I believe. Verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. I believe. Last night, we went to the Michael W. Smith concert. Back in the 90s, Becky and I used to go every year to the Michael W. Smith and Amy Grant Christmas concert. And then, I don't know if they quit doing it for years or if we just lost track of it. And so in the last 4 or 5 years, we've been going again whenever we found it. And this year, Amy Grant's daughter is a senior in high school, so she wanted to stay home. And so Michael W. Smith was in concert. It was a much more simple concert, no full orchestra, but he had his regular band members, backup singers with him. One of the backup singers and musicians is from Australia, and he said something that impacted me. And I tell you all that because I want you to know this didn't come from me, and he said it came from, and I don't remember where he said it came from, but I put it in my phone so I would remember it, and I looked it up this morning, and I wrote it down. So if you don't get anything else today, don't forget this. Maybe it won't impact you like it did me, but when God gives a gift, He wraps it in a person. When God gives a gift, He wraps it in a person. And still today, through a willing and obedient heart, God gives gifts wrapped in people, in a person. And God is calling all of us to be a gift by serving, by meeting a need, by showing love and kindness. He is the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, and the everlasting Father. John 14:8-11, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show me the Father, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing His work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. And we consider the works of Jesus. Look how He lived. Though He never had children on this earth, He was the Father of all creation. He was the Father of all of us. Every person belonged to Him. Every person He created. Every person was His child. And when He saw one sick, and when He saw one hurting, when He saw one broken, He reached out and He loved and He healed and He raised the dead and He did so many things. But how can He be the Father and the Son both? For God so loved the world that He gave His Son. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. The Word was in the beginning. In the beginning He was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. How can He be both God and the Son? It's a mystery. The oneness of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is beyond our comprehension. To understand that oneness, that unity. He is the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. James 3:17-18, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. His entire ministry was about making peace. And now you are called to carry Jesus, to be Jesus, to be that gift wrapped in a person. Romans 12:18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Columnist Deborah Mathis wrote about a time she was in Union Station in Washington, D.C., and how there was just noise and busyness. You could hear horns honking outside. You could hear people yelling for a cab. You could hear phones ringing and text messages going off and on phones. You could hear people talking on the phone, the footsteps as people were going in all directions, announcements of arrivals and departures, a security guard yelling at a man that he can't go through that way, three women who stood up and started arguing with one another. A man in front of her is just pacing in circles. Everybody just looked as if life was at a frantic pace and they couldn't keep up. And everyone was distraught and there was tension all over Union Station. And she could just feel it. When all of a sudden she heard a voice off to the side singing, "What a friend we have in Jesus. What a..." How's that go? "All our sins and griefs to bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." And she said, in the middle of that song, three ladies who were arguing sat down and started singing along. And others who were rushing by slowed down, and they too were singing the song. And she said, "I found myself singing the song." And the man who was pacing in circles in front of me stopped. And he said, "That was amazing, and I don't even believe in Jesus." In the midst of all the hustle and the bustle and the busyness and this party and that party and this family gathering and that family gathering, and in the midst of the pain, stop and be still. And know that He is God, and acknowledge the Christ who lives in you and is calling you to be a gift wrapped in you. Heavenly Father, thank you for the message of Christmas. God with us, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Jesus, names above any other name. Help us to remember and to carry that name well in the weeks ahead, and all the events. In Jesus' name, amen.